All right, welcome to another deep dive today. We are going to tackle something that I think is like constantly vying for our attention, which is the power and impact of images in content. I've got a whole stack of really interesting material here, exploring why visuals have become so dominant, you know, in how we communicate and absorb information, especially in this digital world that we live in.
Yeah, absolutely. And it really is striking, going through these sources that you shared, how deliberate and strategic the use of images is now. It's not just about making things look pretty, but it really does seem to affect whether we even notice something, whether we understand it, whether we ultimately engage with it, or just scroll on by.
It really does. And so what we're going to try to do today is really extract the core insights for you. So, like, why do visuals work? What different types are out there, and how do they work their magic on us, I guess? And then thinking about, you know, for all of us, whether we're creating things or consuming things, how can we be more strategic about the images that we encounter? So consider this, you know, your express route to understanding this, like, this essential element of modern communication.
Yeah, and I think just to get us thinking about that, one of the first things that jumped out at me from these sources was this statistic about social media posts. Apparently, posts that include images get something like 150% more engagement. So that right there, like, begs the question, what is it about visuals that is so fundamentally powerful?
Yeah. And the sources, you know, seem to point to something really basic about how we're wired. So as humans, we're just fundamentally built to notice, remember, learn from, and even have emotional responses to visuals. I mean, you think about it, like, way, way back, our brains were basically trained to instantly recognize threats or opportunities through sight. And, like, that instinct, it's still very much with us.
Yeah, that's a great point. And what's even more fascinating is the sheer speed at which our brains process visual information. The sources point out it's up to 60,000 times faster than text. I mean, just let that sink in for a second, 60,000 times faster. And so in this, like, crazy fast-paced digital environment where we're just bombarded with information, and studies have shown our attention spans are now something like 8 seconds, you know, that speed is a huge, huge advantage for visuals.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not just about, like, the speed, but it's also about where our eyes naturally go first. So eye tracking studies, you know, have shown that when we look at a page or a screen, visuals are often, like, the first thing we focus on. So they act almost like this visual anchor. And then from there, we kind of navigate the rest of the content.
Yeah. And when we connect this to, you know, how our brains actually form memories, the sources had some really interesting neuroscientific findings around this. They talked about how emotionally charged visuals tend to activate the amygdala, which is, you know, the part of your brain that deals with emotion and memory. So basically, when a visual triggers an emotional response, it's not just grabbing your attention in that moment, but it's actually more likely to get encoded into your memory.
Right. So it's not just seeing it. It's, like, really sticking with you.
Exactly. And the sources kind of refer to this as creating these cognitive shortcuts, which I thought was a really interesting way to put it. It basically allows our brains to take in information in a much more efficient way. We sort of bypass some of that heavier cognitive work that comes with having to, you know, decode dense text.
Yeah, makes sense. And this isn't just a digital thing either, right? Because even in print media, like books and magazines and stuff, the sources talk about how, like, high quality visuals actually increase the credibility of whatever you're looking at. So, like, a really well-chosen photograph or a really sharp illustration can make a publication or a piece of content feel instantly more trustworthy and authoritative.
Absolutely. And so, you know, at its core, I think what we're seeing here is that visuals are doing two really powerful things. First, they enhance our understanding by making, you know, complex ideas a lot easier for our brains to kind of grasp. And that's the cognitive ease that we talked about. But then the visuals that are actually able to evoke some sort of emotion, those are the ones that really strengthen how well we remember the information. So it's a pretty potent combination.
Yeah, it really is. Okay, so let's move on to exploring some of the different types of images that are out there and how they each kind of work their magic on us.
Yeah.
And the sources talk about infographics quite a bit, which we see everywhere now, you know, especially in, like, the professional world.
Yeah. And what I find really interesting about infographics is how they take what can often be really complex data and turn it into something that's visually digestible.
Yeah.
And the fact that infographics are something like 30 times more likely to be read than just plain text, that speaks volumes about how effective they can be. And especially in fields like, you know, technology or science, where it's really important to convey a lot of information, there's research suggesting that infographics can lead to as much as a 50% increase in how much someone actually retains compared to just reading text.
But the sources are also, like cautioning us that it's not as simple as just like slapping together some charts and data points, right? Like the real impact of an infographic depends a lot on how clear the design is and how familiar the audience is with whatever topic you're talking about.
That's right. You can actually have an infographic that's so cluttered or poorly designed that it ends up being more confusing than helpful. And that brings up a really important point about context and audience. The sources highlight this really interesting example, talking about how infographics tend to drive about 3 times more engagement on LinkedIn than other platforms. And if you think about it, it makes sense. The LinkedIn audience is largely professionals, people who are looking for, you know, actionable insights, data-driven information, you know, knowledge about their industry. And those are all things that a well-crafted infographic is really well-suited to deliver.
Yeah, makes total sense. All right, well, let's switch gears a little bit and talk about cartoons and illustrations, which seem to bring like a whole different kind of power to the table.
Yeah, they do. And cartoons and illustrations can be so effective at introducing humor or creating a sense of relatability and even, you know, emotional engagement. And this is especially true with audiences who might be new to a particular topic or who skew a little bit younger. There's this interesting idea that because cartoons and illustrations are often a bit more abstract, it actually encourages the viewer to kind of participate mentally, to kind of form their own personal emotional connections to what they're seeing.
Yeah. And I often think about how like strategically placing a cartoon, especially if you're talking about like a potentially serious or kind of dry topic, mm-hmm. it can really take the edge off and make things feel a little bit more approachable, you know. Mm. But the sources also, you know, remind us about the limitations, because humor and these abstract styles can be interpreted really differently across cultures, and they might not always convey the same level of like serious authority. So they may not be the best choice for things like, you know, hard news or scientific reporting, where credibility is absolutely paramount.
Absolutely. But the sources also make this interesting connection between cartoons and illustrations and the broader idea of visual storytelling. By crafting narratives through images like this, you can really get people emotionally invested and build a much deeper connection with them. I mean, think about how even just a series of simple illustrations can walk you through a process or tell a surprisingly compelling story.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, let's move on to authentic photographs, especially those featuring real people, because this seems to tap into something very like fundamental about how we connect with each other as human beings.
Yeah, and it's really interesting to see how powerful authentic photos can be. They can elicit a very direct emotional response, and they do a really good job at building trust, creating a sense of genuineness, and making the subjects of the photos just feel so much more relatable, more human. And the sources highlight just how effective it is for us to see human faces. It captures our attention, and it triggers these feelings of empathy.
And the data seems to bear this out, too. One of the statistics that really jumped out at me was that articles featuring photos of real people have a 35% higher conversion rate in sectors like healthcare and nonprofits. So clearly, that human connection really makes a difference.
It really does. And authentic photography is particularly powerful on social media platforms and in human interest stories, where that personal connection is just so vital. But as the sources note, they might be a little bit less effective in very technical or data-heavy content, where the audience is really just looking for, you know, objective information. And that makes sense, right? It's all about kind of matching the visual style to the specific goals and the content itself. And it's interesting to see how, you know, even in traditional print journalism, they often use those really candid, authentic shots to kind of humanize complex stories. And platforms like Instagram are really prioritizing that genuine, like real life feel over these heavily staged or stock photos that we used to see a lot more of.
Right, right. Okay, so let's talk about AI generated images, which is this like a whole rapidly evolving frontier, right?
Yeah, it really is. And with the emergence of tools like ChatGPT and DALL-E and all these things, it's really blown open the possibilities for creating highly customized and conceptually unique imagery. And so now you can actually generate visuals for even the most niche topics, things that you might have had a really hard time finding stock photos for in the past, and it would have been really expensive to commission, you know, custom illustrations. And the sources mentioned that some tech blogs have even seen an increase in click-through rates when they started using AI-generated images, maybe up to like 20% or so, probably because of that novelty factor.
Yeah, I was going to say there's probably like that initial curiosity, like, whoa, what is this? This looks different. And for, you know, especially for smaller creators or people who have really specific visual needs, the potential cost savings here are pretty huge.
Yeah.
But, you know, of course, the sources also offer some words of caution.
Absolutely, because as AI images become more commonplace, you know, that novelty might wear off and they can become a little bit more easily identifiable. And so the sources suggest, you know, taking a balanced approach, especially when it comes to like regular content posting, because you don't want to overuse them to the point where it starts to like alienate some segments of your audience.
Yeah, I get that. Okay, so we've talked about, that fundamental power of visuals, and then we explored some of the different types of visuals out there. But let's shift gears a little bit and talk about some strategic considerations. Specifically, who are you trying to reach with these images and what platform are you using? Because it's like not a one-size-fits-all approach, right?
No, definitely not. And that's where things get really interesting, I think, on a practical level, because the same image isn't going to be effective everywhere. So in digital environments in particular, the sources really emphasize how images act as this gateway to your content. And on social media, you know, those algorithms are designed to prioritize posts that are visually engaging. And so having high quality images is absolutely essential for even getting your content seen in the first place.
Yeah. I mean, think about it. Like when you're scrolling through your social media feed, like what makes you actually stop and look at something? It's often a striking image or like a compelling video thumbnail. And so those thumbnails and those feature images, like they're so important. There's research that says that content with relevant images gets like 94% more views. That's huge.
It's enormous. And it's not just social media platforms either. The sources talk about how images are really important for search. So search engines, just like users, they value visual content. And so if you have images that are relevant, that are, you know, well optimized and associated with your text, it can actually help your content rank higher in search results.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's like Google's trying to figure out like what is this content about and the image is helping it like understand.
Exactly. And the sources also talked about how data and analytics are so crucial for like developing an effective visual strategy now. They give the example of A/B testing, which has shown that personalizing the images that you use can lead to a big jump in, say, email open rates, like
Yeah.
something like a 42% increase. That's worth paying attention to.
Yeah, wow. That's huge.
It is huge. And it's also interesting to note that, you know, generic stock photos are actually being used way less now. They've declined by like 30% or so since 2018. And that's probably because, you know, the data shows that they're just not resonating with audiences as much anymore.
Right. And so this really underscores like how important it is to use real-time data and analytics tools to really understand what's working with your audience and to adjust your strategy accordingly. And then, of course, in the digital world, making sure that you have like responsive designs, your images look good on any device, and that you're optimizing for specific platforms. That's so important.
Absolutely. An image that looks amazing on a desktop computer might be completely distorted or awkwardly cropped on a mobile phone. And so you have to keep that in mind.
Totally, yeah. Okay, so let's talk about print media for a second, because obviously that's a different beast. And the sources kind of talk about how the role of images in print is a little bit different. It's not so much about getting that initial click, but more about like keeping the reader engaged once they've already started reading, right?
Yeah, that's right. And although print doesn't have, you know, those same interactive elements that you find online, strategically placed high-quality images are still really important in print media. They can break up, you know, these big blocks of text and make things more visually appealing. And that ultimately, you know, improves readability and helps with reader retention. And in journalism, particularly in like investigative reporting, the sources talk about how important it is to use powerful photography and illustrations to really support the storytelling.
Right. But, regardless of the medium, whether it's digital or print, one of the most important things is really understanding your target audience, right?
Yeah.
That seems to be like the key takeaway here.
It really is. And it sort of begs the question for anyone creating content, like who are you trying to connect with? And so the sources recommend, you know, spending some time looking at demographics, things like, you know, the age of your audience, their location, their general interests. And a lot of this data you can actually gather from, you know, the analytics dashboards on different platforms like Instagram or Facebook. And that can give you some really valuable clues about the types of images that are most likely to resonate with the people you're trying to reach.
Yeah, and then again, the sources talk about A/B testing, which is like, don't just assume what's going to work. Actually, test different things and learn from the results. See what your audience is responding to.
Exactly. And the sources offer some general guidelines based on, audience and platform. For instance, aligning your visuals to, the demographics that you're targeting. So infographics, as we talked about, often perform well with professionals, who are looking for more data-driven content, whereas cartoons might be better for younger audiences or for topics that are, a little bit lighter. They also suggest that younger demographics like Gen Z, they tend to be really drawn to, bolder, more experimental AI-driven visuals, whereas older audiences might still really value that authenticity of real photographs.
And then there's the importance of like optimizing for the specific platform, right? Because what works well on Twitter, let's say, or on LinkedIn, which are very like fast-paced, information-heavy platforms, it might not be the best fit for a platform like Instagram, where, it's much more visual and people are really looking for a cohesive, like aesthetically pleasing feed. And then the advice to use AI-generated images more strategically, maybe for those really niche topics where it's hard to find the right visuals, but to always like pair them with more authentic, human-centered narratives, that seems like really solid advice.
It does. And I think ultimately it comes down to striking that balance between aesthetics and authenticity. Because, if visuals are too polished, too generic, they can sometimes come across as being inauthentic and they just fail to connect with people. So for, business-to-business content, as we said, infographics often do really well. But for, let's say, lifestyle blogs or, personal brands, they might be better off using more candid, more relatable photography that just feels really genuine.
Yeah. Absolutely. So I think, as we wrap up this deep dive, it's clear that images are way more than just like decorative elements, right? They are really powerful strategic tools, and they can have a big impact on how we process and understand information. They help us, cut through all the noise of this modern information landscape, and they really tap into like those fundamental aspects of how our brains work to help us be more engaged and remember things better.
Yeah, that's right. And as we talked about, the effectiveness of any given image comes down to, a lot of different factors. It's the type of visual, the audience you're trying to reach, the platform you're using. There's no like magic bullet. It really requires a thoughtful, strategic approach.
Yeah, for sure. And so for you, the listener, as you're going about your day and you're encountering all this content, just take a moment to like really notice the images or even the lack of them. Like, how does that initial image or the absence of an image, how does it shape your first impression? How does it impact how you understand the information that's being presented?
Yeah. What are the subtle messages that might be embedded in those visuals beyond just what they're, literally depicting? We've only scratched the surface of this today, but it really makes you think, doesn't it? How might like a deeper understanding of visual communication actually change the way you learn, the way you connect with others, even the way you communicate your own ideas? It's definitely something to ponder.
It is. It is. All right. Well, that is a wrap on this deep dive. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.